Turn in God's Word for our scripture reading tonight to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Word of God in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Text for our sermon tonight is verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 8 is a familiar passage to us. It's such a beautiful and a comforting word of God. One of the main themes that runs throughout Romans chapter 8 is the Holy Spirit and his work in us. The first part of the chapter speaks of the fact that the Holy Spirit has regenerated us, given us new life in Christ, and that the Holy Spirit continues to work within us to sanctify us so that we mortify the deeds of the flesh and we live out of that new life in the Spirit. Passage also speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit to assure us of our salvation. If you're looking for a passage in God's Word that clearly teaches the work of the Spirit to assure us of our forgiveness and salvation, Romans 8 is that passage. From beginning to end, it speaks beautiful words of comfort and assurance. In verses 15 and 16, it says that the Holy Spirit works within us, witnessing with our spirit so that we know we are the children of God and even cry, Abba, Father. The well-known passage in verse 28 speaks of how all things are working together for our good. We confess here that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And we confess that we're persuaded that nothing in this life, not things present, not things to come, not height or depth, death or life or any creature, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to assure us. But the text that we consider tonight speaks of another wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. And that's the Spirit's work of interceding on our behalf. It's not something that we think about very often. In part, that's due to the fact that in all of his work, the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. He's always drawing attention to Christ and shining the spotlight on Christ and the work of Christ. Part of the explanation for that is also that this is really the only passage of God's Word that speaks of this aspect of the Spirit's work, His work of interceding for us. Because of that, it's important for us to understand this work. It's important, too, because this is a wonderful work of the Spirit, a tremendous source of comfort and encouragement to us. We need that comfort and encouragement because of our weaknesses and infirmities, and specifically those infirmities in our prayers. Prayer is a natural part of the Christian life. It's been compared to how physically our life is expressed in breathing. Spiritually, our life is expressed in our prayers to God. And yet, prayer is difficult for us. Often, we have difficulties in making time to pray because of the busy, fast-paced lives that we live. Often we struggle in prayer because of coldness in our hearts. We're really not genuine. We don't feel sincere in the prayers that we offer. It almost seems as if our petitions don't get any higher than the ceiling of the room. We have difficulties in prayer with our minds wandering. When other people are praying for us, or even when we're praying ourselves, our minds tend to wander in all sorts of different directions. We have troubles expressing properly the things that we want to pray for. Often our prayers are hardly coherent. We stumble and we fumble and we mumble through the prayer, and it hardly seems like we are able to convey what it was that we wanted to pray for. Prayer is difficult. You want to humble any child of God, ask them about their prayer life. That humbles us because every one of us faces these struggles in prayer. Every one of us can see that there's a great deal of room for growth in our life of prayer before God. The comfort we have is that in the weaknesses of our prayers, we have the Holy Spirit who intercedes on our behalf. Now, that's not an excuse for us not to pray, as if, well, because the Holy Spirit's interceding and praying for me, I really don't have to pray. We still have to struggle through prayer and continue to grow in prayer. And yet the comfort for us is that in the struggles we face, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And in spite of all of our weaknesses and all of the deficiencies and struggles of our prayer life, the Holy Spirit makes perfect intercession for us so that our needs are made known to God, and that those prayers are answered by our Heavenly Father. Let's consider this Word of God tonight under the theme, the Spirit's intercession. Notice, first of all, it's a perfect intercession. Secondly, a necessary intercession. And then thirdly, a comforting intercession. One of the great gifts of God's grace to us is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." From the throne of grace at the right hand of God in glory, Jesus Christ has sent His Spirit into our hearts so that the Spirit dwells within us. The Spirit is in us and we are in the Spirit. And it's because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that we are saints. That's the way that verse 27 refers to us, because He maketh intercession for the saints. Saints are holy ones. And we're holy ones not because were perfect and without sin in this life, but we're holy ones because the Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts and makes us partakers of the holiness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as saints, holy ones who have the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Raises the question, what is intercession? What do we mean by that? To intercede means very simply that we pray for someone else. We bring the needs of another individual before the throne of grace and glory. And that is a comfort for us. It's a comfort to know that there are others who are interceding for us, bringing our needs before the throne of grace in prayer, who have thought about us, who have considered the struggles that we're facing, and care for us and love us so much to make our needs a part of their prayers. Often we say to one another, when we're undergoing some struggle or difficulty, well, at the very least, I can pray for you. But that's something that's very important. It's not one of the least things that we can do for someone else. It's one of the important things that we can do for each other to bring their needs before God in prayer. It's something that the elderly members of the congregation do, and they do that as an important part of their place in the body of Christ. Now, that's something that we all do for each other, but there can be a struggle that elderly members of the congregation have. They're not able to be as active as they once were in the congregation. They can feel like they really don't have a part in the church or a purpose in life anymore. The reality is they have a very significant place in the church and a very important purpose. And this is one of the purposes that they have, even though they're not able to be active in the ways they used to be. They're able to pray. They have the time to bring the needs of the other members of the church before God's throne of grace in prayer. But the passage says that the Holy Spirit is the one who intercedes for us. There's some difference of opinion as to how to explain that. Some argue that the way to understand that is that the Holy Spirit works in and through us so that these prayers are actually our prayers. They're the words that come forth from our lips and bring our needs before God in prayer. Well, certainly that's true. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to stir up in us a desire to pray. It's the work of the Spirit to make us see our need for prayer. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit actually to make us pray and to speak the words that we do. We're told in the book of Jude, verse 20, that we're to be always praying in the Spirit. That's the Spirit's work in and through us. But that's not the idea here in our text. It's not that the Spirit is working through us so that we pray. What's in view here is the fact that the Holy Spirit Himself is the one who is praying. It's evident from the language of verse 26. Toward the end of that verse it says, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us." There's emphasis there. The Spirit Himself is the one who's making intercession for us. In spite of any of our own prayers and the bringing of our own needs before God's throne, the Holy Spirit Himself is interceding for us, is bringing our needs before God's throne of grace and glory. That means then that there are three others who are praying for us in addition to our own prayers that we make to God and bringing our own needs to Him. There are three others who are praying for us. There are all of the other members of the church We're bringing our needs before God's throne. Jesus Christ is our intercessor in heaven. We read in Romans 8, verse 34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ is in heaven, making our needs known before our heavenly Father. We have the fellow saints, we have Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit who makes intercession for us as He dwells in our hearts. And the prayers that the Holy Spirit makes on our behalf are perfect prayers. He makes perfect intercession for the saints. It's plain from three things that come out of our text here. In the first place, the Holy Spirit makes perfect intercession because He knows perfectly our needs. Verse 27 says, "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." God is the searcher of our hearts. God knows everything about us, all of the circumstances of our life. He knows even the deepest recesses of our hearts. We read in Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." God knows everything about us. And that means that the Holy Spirit knows all of our needs. As He dwells in our hearts, He knows even the deepest needs of our hearts. The needs that we ourselves maybe are not even aware of. And the needs that we are aware of. The Holy Spirit knows perfectly all of our needs. And because He knows all of our needs, He's able to make perfect intercession for us. Second thing that comes out in the passage is that the Holy Spirit makes perfect intercession because He knows the will of God. Again, the first part of verse 27, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We're told in 1 John chapter 5 that the prayers that are heard by God are those prayers prayed in harmony with His will. 1 John 5 verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." The Holy Spirit, being Himself perfectly and eternally God, knows the will of God. He knows the will of God for all things in heaven and on earth. He knows the will of God for our life and God's plan for our life. And knowing perfectly the will of God, then He's able to make perfect intercession for us. Every prayer that the Spirit prays on our behalf is perfectly in harmony with God's will. He always is praying that God would give to us those things that God has determined in His will. Because the Holy Spirit knows the will of God, His intercession for us is perfect. Then in the third place, the Spirit's intercession is a perfect intercession because there is perfect harmony between the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. And that's verse 27 again. "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." There's perfect harmony between the three persons of the one divine being of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They live together in the closest, most intimate communion and fellowship, so that the things which are on the mind of the Spirit, our needs, the will of God for us, are known perfectly to the Father and the Son. Because the searcher of our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because there's perfect harmony there. Spirit's intercession is perfect intercession. He knows our needs. He knows the will of God. And there is perfect harmony between the Spirit and the other persons of the triune being so that those needs and that will of God is brought perfectly in prayer to our Heavenly Father. What a rich blessing have the Spirit interceding on our behalf. What a rich blessing that we have Jesus Christ in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us there. And what a blessing to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts here on this earth making intercession for us. It's as if the Holy Spirit is on the ground level. He's got a ground level view of our life and all of the circumstances of life. He has a ground level view of all of the needs that we have. He's able then to make perfect intercession to our God in heaven for us. And we need that. How we need the intercession of the Holy Spirit on our behalf. We need that intercession because of the struggles and the burdens that God places upon us in this life. And that's what's in view here in the text and in the context, the trials and the burdens that God places upon His people. It's indicated in part in verse 26 when it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." The word "helpeth" there means literally to take hold of something with someone else who is laboring. Picture in your mind someone that's weighed down under some heavy burden that they're bearing, and someone else comes along and bears up that burden with them, takes that burden and carries it with them. The word means here in that the Holy Spirit helps us. And we need that because of the burdens what God places upon us, heavy burdens under which we struggle day after day. That's true from what we read in the context here as well. First part of the chapter talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh, the ongoing struggle and the battle that we have with sin and temptation. We read in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," but then goes on to explain the comfort and the assurance that we have, but part of what's in view there are the doubts that oppress us and weigh upon us, doubts about God's love and His salvation towards us. And we read in verse 17, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time." And then in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" And then verse 36 is proof that these are all things that we experience. "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." The whole of Romans 8 is speaking about the struggles and the burdens that we bear in this life. How many and how difficult aren't those burdens that God places upon us? Many different burdens in the lives of God's people. Burdens in one aspect of life or in a different aspect of life. Burdens that are known publicly to all or burdens that are known only privately to a few. Burdens that some bear with the ongoing afflictions of their body, struggles with disease and sickness and surgeries and ongoing pain, struggles that elderly saints experience with the breakdown of the body and the mind. It's the sorrow of many over the death of loved ones. Whether years ago or recently, whether an aging grandparent or even a child even yet in the womb. There's the struggles that we face in our relationships. Struggles in bad marriage with a husband or a wife who's not faithful to the vows that they've made and the responsibilities that they have before God. Struggles with family members, children perhaps, who rebellious and walking in the way of sin. Struggles in some of our other relationships with each other, where there's conflict and there's bitterness and there's just the breakdown of a good relationship with another. There's the circumstances of life that discourage us, that disappoint us. There is the overwhelming feeling that we get because of all of the struggles that we're facing and all of the responsibilities and all of the things going on in our life that we feel overwhelmed with everything going on in our life. Some of God's saints who are experiencing persecution, mockery, and ridicule, and even the threat to their own lives for the sake of Christ. And there is for all of us the ongoing battle with sin and our besetting sins and struggles that we face. There's the weaknesses and the sins that we see in the lives of others, of loved ones and family members. Become a burden also for us. There are many heavy burdens that God places upon us in this life. And in those circumstances, one of the infirmities of our flesh comes out in our prayers. And the infirmity is that we don't always know what it is that we are to pray for. Verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." A good example of this in the Scriptures is the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul describes a certain thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, sent in order to keep the apostle from being proud because of all of the revelations that he had received from God. Paul says that he prayed 3 times that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. Paul thought that it would be best for him, that he could best serve God in the ministry. With this thorn removed, he'd be more effective then. God then answered Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "And God said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul goes on to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul thought he understood what he needed to pray for. But God revealed to him that he was praying for the wrong thing, that this thorn in the flesh was necessary for him to effectively carry out his ministry of the gospel. We can have that as well. We face many difficulties in prayer, as we mentioned before. One of the struggles that we face is in knowing always what it is that we're to be praying for. There are times when we think we know what we are to pray for. The reality is we're actually praying for the wrong thing. It's possible at times for us to sit down to pray, not really know exactly what it is that we're to be asking for. And there are times where under the weight, the crushing weight of the burdens that we experience, we feel like we can't even pray. We feel like we don't know what it is to say as we enter into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Might be that we have a loved one who's experiencing ongoing affliction and bodily illness. We pray for health and strength, and yet God doesn't give health and strength. We might pray that God would preserve a loved one so that they don't die. And the will of God is that that loved one does die. Possible that a child of God prays for deliverance from persecution. And the will of God is that they continue to experience that persecution. A child of God might pray for a spouse, might pray for a child, and never receive a spouse or a child. It's possible for a child of God to pray for a loved one who's walking rebelliously in the way of sin, and that loved one never seems to turn, never seems to come back and repent. We're unsure what it is that we're to be actually praying for. We need then the intercession of the Holy Spirit. We don't know what it is that we are to pray for. We depend upon the Holy Spirit to make perfect intercession to the Father, to bring what are our needs, the needs that He knows better than we do ourselves, to bring those needs before our Father in glory. One of the ways in which the Holy Spirit does so is through groanings that cannot be uttered. That's the end of verse 26. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here too there is a difference of opinion about how to interpret that. There's some who argue that these groanings are the groanings of the Holy Spirit Himself. And they point to the context here. Verses 19 and following, it talks about the groaning of the creation. In verse 23, it talks about our groaning for redemption. And then verse 26, they say, speaks of the Spirit's groaning. So that what we have here, they argue, is a kind of God talk. Some kind of language that the Holy Spirit in our hearts speaks to the Father in glory that is beyond our understanding, spoken in divine heavenly words that we can't understand. Certainly that's possible. Seems to me to be a better understanding of the passage here to understand that groaning of the Spirit as the groaning that comes in and through us and is expressed on our own lips. The groans and the sighs that we utter as we're weighted down with the heavy burdens of this life. You know what that's like, beloved? Have you been there? Are you there now? Weighted down with such a heavy burden that you can't speak. The only thing that can escape your lips is a panting sigh, a groan that doesn't even express any human words, a groan that's too deep for words, the groaning of our soul under the weight that God has placed upon us. You know that. You know what that is? Those sighs, those deep, inexpressible groanings are the prayers of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking through us then, even when we don't have any words to say. And all we can do is sigh and groan under the weight of God has sent upon us. The Spirit is speaking. He's taking those groans and those sighs and He's making perfect intercession to the Father in heaven. As it were, He's fixing those prayers, He's fixing those groans and those sighs into words that can be understood. They're heard by our Father in glory. What a comfort. What a comfort. How necessary for us that we have the intercession of the Spirit, especially in these times. Spirit makes those prayers perfect and heard by your Father in glory. The comfort for us then is knowing that prayers are answered. Not always answered in the way that we want. Not always the answer that we're expecting. Not always the thing that we're asking for and groaning after. God doesn't always give to us what we want, and that's a good thing. Imagine what a mess our life would be if we actually got everything that we wanted. Might sound good at first, but our life would be a mess because we really don't understand what is best for us. Use the illustration of a parent with a child. Parent is really irresponsible and a poor parent if he spoils his child and gives his child everything that that child asks for and wants. What ends up happening is that child grows up to be a spoiled brat. Child doesn't know what's good for him. The same is true for us. We don't always know what's good for us. We think we do, but we don't always know. And God's answer isn't always the answer that we want. But knowing the perfect intercession of the Spirit, it means that our needs, the needs that we truly have, those needs that we're not even aware of, are brought to our Father in harmony with His will, and He answers those prayers. Giving to us what we truly stand in need of. Comfort for us then is knowing that as the Spirit intercedes and the Father answers those prayers, everything in our life is good and for our good. And that's where our text leads right into verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. As the Spirit brings our needs to God in prayer, and those prayers are answered, and what God sends in our life then works all together for our good. And how that is exactly comes out in the very next verse, when it says that we are conformed to the image of His Son. All things work our good, but how? They work our good because they more and more conform us to the image of Christ. They make us Christ-like. They turn us away from sin. They turn us away from a focus on this earth. They make us more and more like Jesus Christ. So the answers to our prayers and the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Be comforted, beloved. Be comforted. Burdens are there. Burdens are heavy, weighty, crushing even. Don't minimize the burdens that God sends into your life. Burdens that make you sigh, groan with a deep, inexpressible groan. So that maybe all you can say is, God, help me. be comforted that the Holy Spirit makes perfect intercession for you. And that those sighs and those groans are the prayers of the Holy Spirit bringing your needs before the throne of grace. And that in answer to that perfect intercession, the Father hears. The Father answers. And He's working all things together for your good. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we're able to pray to Thee. Thankful for that work of the Spirit in us. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray in harmony with Thy will, so that not our will, but Thine is done. It's difficult as that is for us to confess. Thankful, Father, for the intercession of Thy Spirit, that these weak, stumbling prayers, the deep groans of our heart heard by Thee and answered in a way that works for our good. Give us comfort, give us hope, give us encouragement. Lift us up, cause us to go on patience and endurance under the heavy burdens that Thou dost place upon us. We're thankful for the hope, not in things that we can see, for that's not hope, but the hope of those things that we can't yet see, and the everlasting rest, and peace, and glory that Thou hast prepared for us. Give us strength for our pilgrimage in this coming week. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.